This is Michigan's retirement coach, Mike Douglas.
And I'm Heather Branch here with Mike to talk about ways that you can be working now to better prepare for your financial future. There is a lot to put in place when it comes to having a full plan, but Mike and his team are here to help you build that plan and work to make sure that you have all the boxes checked for your goals in your retirement years. LifePlanWealth.com is where you can begin your own conversation with Mike and his team. We also have links posted in the show notes, or again, find us anytime at LifePlanWealth.com. There is a different, if you are watching on YouTube, you are understanding what I'm about to say. If you are listening to the podcast, you can check out YouTube later. There's a different background happening behind you today, sir. Toto, you're not in Kansas anymore.
We're not. Where we're closer to Kansas. We are closer to Kansas. We are down outside of Branson, Missouri.
Okay.
On a vacation at an Airbnb we rented.
Nice.
It's a great little barn dominium on a 40-acre lot.
Nice.
There's cows and all this stuff around, but we decided to come down. You know, Branson, I've heard so much about it, and so we're doing it. We got our family down here. We're watching a little basketball, going to Branson, eating at this place called Landry's, hopefully this afternoon, where they throw rolls at you.
You know what? I think that I've been to that restaurant because when I did choir tour, and we would go when I was in high school, and our choir director would take us from one side of the country to the next. And we definitely went to a restaurant once where they threw, and of course we were all in high school and thought it was great. We're just bread being chucked at your head.
Right. That's my goal today is not to be like a grumpy old man and just be like, can you please put it on my plate? You know, but instead to embrace the moment. Also, they call it throwed, like T-H-R-O-W-E-D, like not they've thrown, but some funny thing where they call it throwed rolls. And I'm not going to let the bad grammar bother me either. It's just going to be a day of vacation and enjoying.
You're on vacation.
I played a beautiful golf course here yesterday called Mountaintops, literally up at the peaks of the mountains down here. And you're golfing on, it was the most beautiful views. It's a really pretty, I would have never thought Missouri would have some of the topography and like the height and everything, but it was beautiful. Love it. It's a great place.
Who knew? Vacations in Missouri.
A lot of people come to Branson. I always thought it was just like a senior destination, like, cause you hear about a lot of seniors coming down here. Now we're having a blast. I love it.
That's awesome. All right. New favorite spot.
Yep. Just a remote podcast. That's all we're doing. This, you know, coach on the road. That's what we're doing.
No, I was about to say, nice for you vacation, but you got to put it off now for a little bit because we got to talk work. Got to talk shop, sir.
Yeah. Yep,
that's what we're here to do. Okay. Well, let's do that. Let's talk shop because I wanted to ask you about the idea. I mean, when it comes to our income, rule number one, you got to have that figured out for your retirement years. How are you going to replace the paycheck from your working years once you hit retirement? What's going to come into your checking account every 2 to 4 weeks? And the questions about it. And obviously it remains the number one fear, running out of money. And I think that that fear is very commonly derived from the fact that people have no idea how to begin to withdraw from their nest egg in a constructive and beneficial way. So the old school rule that has been the 4% withdrawal rule, it created in the 90s, I believe. Is that right? Where if you withdraw 4% from your savings every year, you should be able to not run out of money in retirement.
Yep.
Each year, the folks at Morningstar.com, they update their calculations on this idea and how much you should withdraw in retirement. And their latest number, they're saying, is you can withdraw 4% monthly from your savings. So here is Amy Arnott on these findings.
I think it gives you a starting point for thinking about what might be reasonable for a withdrawal rate. And if you find that the amount that you want to spend translates into a much higher withdrawal rate, you might think about cutting back on spending a bit. Or conversely, a lot of people actually tend to underspend. So if you find that your planned spending is actually significantly lower than 4%, you might want to consider increasing it.
I appreciate what she says at the beginning, though. She's like, this is a starting off point. Like, don't ever hold steadfast truth to one idea that was given out to the masses. So, okay, how do you find somebody's starting point when doing the math on withdrawals? And I mean, should we be trusting on percentages? It's not necessarily just about a certain number, a certain percentage, is it?
No, there's several things that factor in. Number one is when you go to retire, people always ask, how much do I need to have saved? What rate of return do we need? It all boils down to first understanding your expenses and how much you want to spend. Because I've had people come in with several million dollars, and because their spending is out of control because they're used to earning so much money,
Right.
That when they go to retire, they can't afford to live. And they say, well, I've got, you know, $2.5-3 million, but I want 250 grand a year to live off of. Well, that's pretty aggressive. And we need to make a crazy rate of return to try and keep it afloat. So it's about finding this balance. But if you know how much you're trying to spend or what you need to spend and what you need to net, really. So I want 5,000 a month net. I want 7,000 a month net, whatever the number is. You start okay. there.
Okay.
Then you look at your investments total. So let's throw some numbers out. You say, I need $8,000 a month of income. That's our goal. Mm-hmm. Okay. What's your Social Security benefit going to be? Well, between me and my wife, we're going to get about $4,000 a month. Mm-hmm. All right. So now I need another $4,000 a month net after taxes to live off of. And then that number has to inflate over the years. So when we look at that, that's $48,000 a year. But since we need that net, it's probably more like $64,000 a year that we need to withhold from taxes and pay the government and then get you your $48,000. So now we've gone from, I need $8,000 a month to now I only need $4,000 a month, but really I need more like $5,000 a month because of taxes. So once you start building these numbers out, all right, $60,000 is what I need. How much do you have saved? Well, I got $1 million. All right. Well, that's a 6% withdrawal rate because 60,000 on $1 million means we're pulling out 6%. Mm-hmm. Then how much is your portfolio going to earn in the market? Well, again, we're trying to have the tail not wag the dog because we want to build portfolios around the income need, not live income off the portfolio results. Mm-hmm. So if we can do that, we say, all right, gosh, I need 6% withdrawal rate. That may change the way our portfolios are built because that rule came around. So again, it was created in the 90s. William Bengen, I think it was in 1994, created the rule of 4%. And the whole idea was using fixed rates, treasuries, CDs, bank rates, all these things, you can steadily pull 4% out and the money will last you 30 years. That was the rule.
Right.
So you take 4% out, the money's going to last you 30 years. The average person retires around 65. If their money can make it to 95, then that's a win. If you make it past 95, hopefully you've got a little bit more leftover money, but you're probably not exactly traveling the world and spending a bunch of money. Right. So as a result, that was the rule. And then for a while, it was disproven and it was actually shown to be not accurate anymore because the rates were so low, you know, through 2010 through 2022, the rates were interest so rates. Low. Yeah, our interest rates were so low that you couldn't get a fixed income rate paying you at a rate like he could in 1994. So then people were saying, well, really, it's more like the rule of 3% or 4, you know, 3.5%, 3.25%. So now Morningstar is saying back to the rule of 4%, 4% withdrawal rate. So if we back that number out, I need $60,000 a year to live off of. Mm-hmm. That's what I need. All right. Well, then you take your $60,000, what you need, divide it by 0.04, which means you actually need $1.5 million at retirement. Mm-hmm. Even though we would have said the rule of 4% is 40,000. I only need $48,000. So that, it's like you need a 1.5 million for the rule of 4% to give you $60,000 a year.
Got it.
We build those things out. Understanding these calculations, people say, why'd you divide by 0.04? That's just some of the financial math you have to know to back it out. Yeah. But when we're looking at building a plan out, I remember specifically a family came in and they said, well, we are used to living on our Social Security and our RMDs. And they have a nice multi-million dollar portfolio. And as we went through, we built a nice steady plan out, no worries, pretty easy. Well, then kind of suddenly the husband passed away. Mm. And it's a sad story. He was a wonderful, beautiful man. He passed away. Well, one of the things we built in is a married filing jointly tax bracket, which means to live on this, we're getting two Social Securities. We're getting a married filing jointly tax bracket, and it's a little bit more of a tax grace than what they're going to get. Well, then he passes, and all of a sudden, she's down to one Social Security, and she goes into a single file tax bracket, which means that now she is paying way more in taxes for the same lifestyle than she ever was married. With less Social Security.
That tax law, I don't know how that hasn't been addressed for widows, like at a certain age, because I can't wrap my brain around how somebody that is widowed is now in a higher tax bracket.
Anyways. It seems like, well, I know why they do it, because it's a money grab. But it seems like there should be a community law, like a common law, right? Yeah. Like certain things, like if you're in certain states, they say if you've been married 10 years, common law, you now have the ability to split things right down the middle. It's like an anti quick marriage law. But if you're legitimately married, and they're married for 40 years,
yeah,
and they've built a life together over 40 years, he passes suddenly. Now all of a sudden she's going to take a huge tax hit. Why don't they have a widow's tax bracket, which is just a continuation or a deterioration? Like, what if you could create a sliding scale that says, all right, for the next 3 to 5 years, you get married filing jointly, and then you slowly progress into singlehood, right? Into single filing taxes.
Don't to just give you a taper right out of the gate. Yeah.
One of my best friends, our former CEO, he passed, and his wife, just like that, he was from healthy to dead in 17 days, which is terrible enough. And imagine as a wife being in a situation where just all of a sudden your world's upside down. And then on top of that, they say, you know, this life that you've been building, we're going to tax the snot out of it now because your husband passed. You go, what the heck? You know, I'm already dealing with enough without giving away a bunch of my paycheck. So I've seen that play out too many times. And then you take a rule like the rule of 4%. And I'm so glad Amy says on that clip to understand it's a starting point.
Yeah.
Because what happens when life happens?
Yeah.
How do you pivot when those things happen? Because again, with the client whose husband and they've got that plan all built out, that was built on a very conservative portfolio. However, we had to flip the thing upside down because of we lost. They both are very successful. They both ran very successful professional services, separate practices. And when you lose a pretty nice chunk of Social Security, I mean, the max benefit, you know, $3,800 a month comes out of the budget. That's tough. And then the same money is going to cost you 10 to 12% more in taxes. That's tough. And so you have to recalibrate very quickly. And she went from her standard withdrawal rate that we set up to all of a sudden we have to really pivot back down to protect. And it's because they're generous people. Like that's one of the parts I think that's hitting her the hardest is that she's ultra philanthropic. She's very generous. They give to charities so much every year. They give to family. They give to so many people because they're such loving people. And now, because of the lack of a widow's tax rate, because of the lack of, you know, all the programs we have in this country, and not one of them is designed to help a widow taper their lifestyle. Instead, they just, boom, you know, you're cut hard.
Yeah.
She's put in a position where it's like, well, I want to live this life. So do I stop giving to charity or do I keep giving to charity and not live in the beautiful home that my husband and I just like, it's tough. Because their whole desire is we work so hard for all these years. Now we want to give back. We want to love on people. We want to, I mean, every charity, every nature organization, all these beautiful things they did. And that puts people in hard positions. And so going back to the whole idea of this rule of 4% is how do you make sense of these rules when life happens and everything changes and the rules change?
So what happened with her then? What did you have to figure out for her?
We're still in the midst of it. So
really?
he passed away in the last year.
Okay.
And so it's a, you know, and on top of that,
it's an ongoing process.
Yeah, it is. Cause finance is a relationship. It's not a moment. It is a constant conversation. We love the idea of buy this, I'm set. Right. And that works with some products to a certain extent, right? You buy a really good mutual fund, you buy there are some annuities that are really good and some that are really bad, but you buy the right kind or the right thing. And if it fits for who you are, that's good. And if you can set it and forget it, it's beautiful. However, when life happens, you have to have off ramps and ways to figure out how to protect yourself and your family.
So is it then safe to say that, again, going back to this idea of this withdrawal rate in a retirement course of 20, 30, 40 years, the withdrawal rate will likely change?
Oh yeah.
Within our plan over the years.
Yeah. I mean, it's only 30 years old and it's changed multiple times. It's funny. Right. I've quoted Morningstar when I was teaching at a college class that we had. I've quoted Morningstar because Morningstar disproved the 4% rule. About 7 years ago, they said it's
here
the rule of 3.5. And I was like, okay, so they've disproved it. So I've literally in workshops just up until about, you know, 3 weeks ago said Morningstar, Yahoo Finance, all these different ones, they've shown that the rule of 4% doesn't work anymore. And here we are, Morningstar says, hey, rule of 4%. Now I'll be interested to see in 3 years, in
where
3 years when bank rates come back down,
right?
Because that's today's rate. I think that's the problem. People say, oh, rule of 4%, so I'm good the rest of my life.
Right.
It's like a cherry pick time frame, you know, to go through and say, yeah, as of today, with today's rates, if these things stay, well, we know things aren't going to stay.
Gonna
we know bank rates are staying where they are. If you go to a bank right now and say, I want a 6-month CD, they're going to give you 5%. All right. I'd like a 5-year CD. whoa, okay, four. Are you telling me my 5-year CD gets a lower rate than 6-month CD?
Yeah. It's a weird time.
It's an inverted CD curve versus it's where it's typically time. The longer I give my money, the more I make. They're going backwards and they're saying, nah, I can't promise you that. Rates are coming down. So they're trying to bank, like they're trying to literally bank their money at the banks because in 2 to 3 years, when rates come down, they're making less. Mm-hmm. So don't be surprised if several things happen this year. When eventually they do start cutting rates, don't be surprised to see mortgages stay where they are because they're going to try to front load these mortgage rates. And then in 3 years, when rates drop more significantly, they're going to try and, you know, because people are going to refi. You know, if you buy a house this year at 7.25%, 7.5%, 8%, 3 years from now, when rates drop to 4 or 5, you're going to refinance. Yeah. So banks are going to try and front load all this stuff. So all that being said is these rules change constantly and it's your retirement. And so that's the worst part. I think people trust a rule.
Yeah.
And then they say, oh, this will happen. And then the rules don't care about you. The rules change. And unless you're ultra on top of it, that's why, you know, I just was talking to someone the other day about the tax code. And as we went through, they said, it's like learning another language. I said, it is like learning another language. That's why you need to hire a translator. So you can either learn to speak, you know, this Mandarin tax code or whatever, you know, or you hire a translator. When I go to the mechanic shop, I don't want to know what you did to fix my car. I just want you to take my card, take my money, and please get me back on the road. These cars are so electronic and so difficult now. I don't understand. Just, I know. I don't want to do it. You know, I could. I'm sure if I could YouTube it, I could work my way through it. I'm not going to do it. You know, I'd rather spend my time sitting with my clients and doing these things, figuring out how to make life work when life happens. So I think that's these conversations, these, like, how does the rule of 4%? It does work today, according to Morningstar, according to today's rates. But we need to have pivots. We need to have off ramps. We need to have ways of adjusting. On our website, there's a button that's lifeplanwealth.com. There's a button that says start your retirement roadmap today. And it's literally to start engaging these conversations where people all the time from the podcast or TV or radio or wherever, where they call in and they click the button and they let us know, hey, let's have these talks. So we reach out and we sit down and have coffee and say, what do you want life to look like? Because remember, we don't want the tail to wag the dog. We start with, how much money do you want in retirement? I need $6,000. Here's my Social Security. Here's my pension, whatever. All right, great. Then from there, we build out to figure out what your rule is. Right? Don't take Morningstar's advice. Figure out what your family's rule is. We need to withdraw 3%. Okay. Then as a result of what your family needs, we build portfolio models that says, here's how we accomplish those goals. So again, it's not Morningstar's money. It's your money. It's your life savings. And like she says, right on the Morningstar, I'm not coming after Morningstar because she says in the clip, this is a starting point to understand like what you should do. And so to take it as the final gospel is not accurate because it's going to change. Like I said, I can quote Morningstar back and forth. However, it is a good place to know, all right, if here's the launching point, what do we need to do to adjust annually and how to make sure it works for our family?
Again, lifeplanwealth.com is where you can go to start your conversation with Mike and his team. Just figuring out how much to withdraw monthly, yearly, in what's hopefully going to be a decade's long retirement for you and your family. Just that one factor. It continues to change. The questions around it continue to be abound, but you don't have to figure it out by yourself. Mike is here to help you figure it out and figure out what's going to work for you in your retirement. So we also have links posted in the show notes. You can just click there as well, or again, visit us anytime at lifeplanwealth.com.
Thanks for listening to Michigan's Retirement Coach with Mike Douglas. To learn more, visit lifeplanwealth.com. Michael Douglas is an investment advisor representative of Stewards Wealth Planning, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Financial professionals are not licensed in all 50 states. To find out if Michael Douglas is licensed in your state, please call 517-323-7526. Stewards Wealth Planning, LLC is not affiliated with nor endorsed by the Social Security Administration or any other government agency and does not provide legal or tax advice. Annuity guarantees rely solely on the financial strength and claims-paying ability of the issuing insurance company. By contacting us, you may be provided with information about insurance and annuity products offered through Michael B. Douglas, NPN number 965-0939.